Masechet Baba Batra, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. We've been talking about a hazakah, 3-year hazakah, which is a substitute for a contract or a bill of sale, and it serves to show that somebody has acquired a piece of property in a legal way. But just being there for 3 years, that hazakah alone is not enough. A person also needs a ta'ana, like this Mishnah says. Kol hazakah she'eni ma'ta'ana in a hazakah. Any hazakah, any occupancy of land for 3 years that isn't also accompanied with a legal ownership, a claim of legal ownership, is not a valid hazakah. What does that mean? Ketzad amar lo ma ata oseh betoch sheli. If somebody said to his friend, "What are you doing in my property?" Who amar lo shelo amar li adam devar meolam. And that person who was in the property said, "Oh, I'm in this property. No one ever told me I'm not allowed to be here." That is in a hazakah. That's not a valid hazakah. He's never claiming that he bought or acquired the property. So therefore, he has to leave the property. He doesn't claim to own it. He doesn't have any rights to it. So just because he happened to be there for 3 or more years, that doesn't mean that he is saying that it's his. So with the 3-year period that he was there in the land, he also has to claim why the property is legally his. He has to say, "I bought it, it's mine, I received it as a gift." And that would be a valid hazakah. Shemacharta li, shenatata li b'matana, avicha mechara li, avicha natana li b'matana. But if the person who was there says, "I'm here in this land, you know why? Because you sold the property to me, or you gave it to me, or your father sold it to me, or your father gave it to me as a gift," in all these cases, hadezu hazakah, it's a valid hazakah. Being there for 3 years with the proper claim with it, that could substitute the bill of sale or a deed that he may have. Once he has both of these things, the 3 years plus the ta'ana with it, that secures his ownership and it could substitute for a misplaced bill of sale. Haba mishum yerusha eno sarich ta'ana. But if somebody is coming with the claim of inheritance, he doesn't need to defend that claim. If he's there and he's claiming that he received this piece of property as inheritance from his father, he doesn't have to bring proof that his father acquired it from a previous owner. As long as he has a hazakah by being there for 3 years, and there was no one who protested during those 3 years, and he's also claiming that he inherited this piece of land, and he has the ability to show that his father lived there for part of his life, at least one day before he died, then we believe this individual. As we've hinted to, the whole basis of a hazakah is that if a person was living in another person's property, that real owner of the property would protest. He would say something. And if he doesn't protest, it means that that it's not his land, that it's the person who's actually there. He could be secure that it's his land, and eventually after those 3 years are up, he is going to feel that no one's going to bother him, and he's going to be negligent and careless, and he's not going to watch the deed to his house, so he may lose it. And therefore, when someone comes after those 3 years, he doesn't even have to have that deed. Now we'll talk about people whose being in a property for more than 3 years does not establish a hazakah, people who are exceptions to the rule. Ha'umanin, v'ha'shutafim, v'ha'arisin, v'ha'apotropin, en lahem hazakah. People who are craftsmen, people who are partners, sharecroppers, administrators, cannot establish a hazakah because the fact that they're in land for 3 years and no one is protesting or challenging them would not prove that they own it. In all of these cases, there could have been an assumption by, let's say, the partners, for example. If one partner is there and there was an agreement that they would both be there for a different term, it was one for the first 3 years and the second partner for the other 3 years, they could have had their own mutual agreements between them, and therefore the unchallenged use of the property would not establish a hazakah. And every one of these, a sharecropper, an administrator, and a craftsman who's doing work on the property, maybe he could be doing work on a property for an extended period of time. So all of these people, being there for 3 years does not establish a hazakah, because maybe they have a reason for being there more than 3 years that would take away the need for someone, the real owner, to protest. Other cases when a hazakah also can't be established. En la ish hazakah b'nechse ishto. A man cannot establish hazakah upon the property of his wife. According to the Torah, a husband has to give his wife food. Hachamim added that he also has the right to use any real estate that she brings into the marriage, as we learned back in Masechet Ketubot. Since he then is allowed to eat from her fields while they're married, he can establish a hazakah by being there. He can say, oh, look, I've been here for 3 years, so I bought the property from my wife because he had entitlement to be there. So, of course, you wouldn't protest his being in the fields. Velo la'isha hazaka b'nechseh ba'ala. A woman also cannot establish a hazaka upon the property of her husband. The husband is required to provide his wife with food. So she may go into his fields and eat, because it's her right. So the fact that she was in his fields for 3 years eating doesn't mean that she bought the property from him, because he had no reason to protest because she was allowed to be there. A father can't establish a hazaka on the property of his son, and a son cannot establish a hazaka on the property of his father. In all these cases, the fact that a father was on a son's property doesn't prove that he's the owner. There's an expectation that that family members are going to be on each other's property, and therefore, just him being there for 3 years wouldn't be enough to establish a hazaka. That doesn't work in that regard, because in all of these cases, the real owner of the land wouldn't be expected to protest his land being used, because it's expected for those other people to be on the land, even though they wouldn't be owners.
What we said above, all these people, all these groups of people who cannot acquire land or show ownership of land through hazaka, we say b'mahazik, only talking about somebody who is trying to establish a hazaka and use that to say that he's owning the land. If he's trying to use these 3 years of residency at that spot as his proof that he owns that spot that he's actually really occupying, he doesn't have to produce a deed to that property if the right has been challenged. So that everything we've been talking about so far is with hazaka. People who can use hazaka as a proof of ownership and people who cannot use hazaka as a proof of ownership. Aval benoten matana. But if a person's giving a gift to somebody else, and the person who's receiving the gift wants to make a kinyan hazaka in order to require it, a kinyan hazaka is one of the ways that a person could acquire real estate by improving the property in some way, which we'll elaborate on. If that person wants to, after receiving a gift, he wants to make a kinyan hazaka on it. If you have brothers who are dividing up an estate, and a kinyan hazaka is being done by each one of the heirs over here to acquire a portion of the property so that the other side can't retract and try and take back. Or somebody is trying to acquire the ownerless property of a convert who passed away, who has no family, so somebody is trying to grab onto that and acquire it. Na'al. Ve'gadar uparat kolshu, if he did any sort of action, which we'll list three over here, that shows that he is owning it, he's making a kinyan on it. Either he locks up the property that we're talking about in these previous cases, or he fences it in, or he breaches the fences, even if he does it just a little bit, doesn't have to be anything major. Harezu hazaka, this is a valid form of creating a hazaka acquisition. He acquires the property, even though the groups of people that we listed earlier in the Mishnah, they can't live there for 3 years and then automatically acquire it, but they could legally acquire these properties using a kinyan hazaka. If they did a kinyan hazaka, all these different things that we mentioned over here, they did something like that, that would be enough to claim that they could own the property. 3 years living there wouldn't be enough, but if these people who wouldn't be expected to protest, and that's why the 3 years didn't work, but if they actually took improvements to the land, or they made a substantial act on the land, and then there was no protest after that, that shows that they actually do own the piece of land, and that could serve as a proof, and that's the hazaka that they could eventually prove their ownership with.